Nothing like it in the world. It's just the best feeling that there is. And I'm not going to be before you for very long. If you turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 7, and we will be reading from verses 37 and 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 39. And all these testimonies in the last service were really something else. And I must have got a little something, because I think I got some of Sister Johnny's anointing. Because on Thursday, actually it was a Wednesday night, my wife and I had been looking, started talking about finding a family vehicle, because that our family's expanding. And we were looking to probably getting a van of some sort. And so my wife threw out some numbers. She said, well, you know, let's see if we can get like something that's 2008, maybe it's $10,000 or so. And that night I went on the internet and I started looking around, and I looked at a dealership that was local in my hometown back in Benton Harbor, Michigan. A very close friend of mine, he's the general manager there. And so looking through his selection, there was only one family vehicle there, and it was a 2008, $10,000 Town and Country van. So needless to say, I contacted him the next day, and he said, I'm glad you called me, because someone's coming in to test drive it. I was like, well, you hold off on it, because I'll like make him stop the deal, stop the sale, because like so see if I can get that. So I left work early, and I drove home, drove to Michigan. I was flying down the highway, and I got there, and I got it. And he gave me the family discount, too. And it's sitting out there, and that thing is fully loaded. Like, fully loaded. I still haven't figured out everything on it. Like, I got in there, I was messing with buttons. I mean, leather heated seats, two DVD players and screens, wireless headphones for the kids, and they listen in the back. I got that Sister Johnny anointed, I'm telling you. Literally the next day, God made a way. Amen. God made a way. And the payment on it is going to be less than both of our old vehicles. My car's going to be paid off in November, so we're giving her old vehicle away to her father. Her father's going to take over the payments and stuff. And so it all worked out like perfectly. I was itching in my seat when you guys were testifying, but I was like, you know what, I gotta preach, so I'll testify then. So I had to hold on. My parents didn't even know about that. I kind of just sprung that on them. Amen. Yep, so I'm quite happy. So anyway, let's get in this thing. I'm not gonna be very long. I don't have anything really that deep today. I have just something simple. John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And I want to read verse 38 one more time, just from that. That's going to be my main text that I'm going to be taking the thought from. And that was John 7, verse 38. It says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Today, I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, well, this actually kind of, in a sense, goes with the message, because it's called Unblocking the Wells. See, that was prophetic, and I didn't even know it. I didn't even try. Might as well. Unblocking the wells. We're going to pray and just ask for God's blessing on this word, and that it would touch and minister to the hearers today. Let us pray today. Lord Jesus, first off, I just surrender myself to you. I surrender this message to you. God, I can do nothing apart from you. I don't want to come with enticing words or man's wisdom, but may it be in demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. May your Spirit even arrest the hearts and the minds and the ears of those that are listening. May they be impacted by the word. May they be transformed by the word. May they be healed and delivered by the word. May the Spirit of God flow even in the remainder of this service as it has already done so, and bring about healing and liberty in this house. And God, we just thank you right now. We glorify you. We exalt you and worship you. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to talk to you about unblocking the wells. Now, the verse that I just read to you in John chapter 7, it is when Jesus was at the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the last day of that feast, he got up and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And one of the things I want to talk about is why that the rivers aren't necessarily flowing in the house of God, aren't flowing in the people of God, and the blockages and the obstacles that can arise in our relationship with God. I want to look at this verse in verse 38 where it says, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. The Greek word there is, I'm going to try and say this correctly, is pistuio. I'm trying to say that correctly. But it means not just to believe, but it means to commit, to entrust, to completely relinquish control of, and to put into the care, the trust of another. And the Bible talks about, our theme for this month is faith. And the scripture talks about that, and without faith, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, that word believe is the same Greek word that we find here in Matthew 7, verse 38. It's not just believing and acknowledging information or acknowledging that God exists, but it is a commitment to God. That if you really believe God, the type of belief or faith that pleases God is a belief system that completely commits him or herself to God. That is the type of belief system that pleases God. And there are many of you that are in this audience that you believe in God, but I want you to understand that the devils believe in God and that they tremble. That just having an acknowledgement or an awareness of God's existence is not enough to necessarily get you through the pearly gates of heaven. That it's not enough just to acknowledge that God is real and that he is a miracle working God, but you have to commit yourself completely and totally to him, withholding nothing, as we saying last week, that you have to commit to trust everything into his care. When you do that, when you have that type of faith and you have that type of belief system, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will flow through you. And the thing is, it says that he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. There are people who believe that they do not believe according to the word of God, that you are praying for things and asking for things which are contrary to the word of God, contrary to God's will, and God is not going to give you something that is contrary to his word or contrary to his will. He'll give you the things that are within his will. God wants to bless his people. God wants to see his people walking in prosperity. And I don't mean walking in the sense of just financial success or reaching the upper echelon of social ladder, so to speak. But God wants to see you successful in doing his will. And that when you do his will, that you'll achieve the goals, the objectives that God has for your life, and you will be successful. Prosperity is not only financial or monetarily, but it's also in all aspects of life. God wants you to prosper. But in order for you to receive the things that God has, you have to commit to him. You have to have the type of belief that completely lets go. You let go of all logic and rationale and reasoning and truly rely on the power of God and his word. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, I believe, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That we walk completely relying on the word of God. That's where faith originates. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That you attain faith by getting into the word of God. And when you have that type of faith, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will flow. And it's not just anything will flow. It's the living waters that will flow. Waters that will cause you never to thirst again. Sometimes we sing songs in the church and we even talk about, God, I hunger after you and God, I thirst after you. But Christ said that when you drink of the water that I give you, that you'll never thirst again. When you eat of the bread of life that I provide for you, that you'll never hunger again. The Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, that thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That when you take one drink of this holy living water, you'll be drinking for the rest of your life. He'll quench every thirst. He'll meet every desire. He'll answer every question. He'll solve every problem. He'll overcome every enemy that you're confronting and battling with. But you've got to have the right type of faith in order to accomplish this. And the right type of faith is not just a logical reasoning of the Word of God. It's a much deeper level. It has to get down into your heart. The Bible says in Psalm 119, I believe, is that thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That when you put God's word completely and totally inside of your heart, that you will have the right type of faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth, that word believeth is the same Greek word that we find in John 7:38, a complete commitment. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I want to encourage you today that God will not let you down, that God will not disappoint you. Now, I want you to understand that man's reasonings and his understanding is not like God's reasoning and understanding. And you may have a certain expectation, but if that expectation is not according to God's word, then yes, you will be disappointed. But if it is according to God's word, then you will receive that which you believed. You get what you believe. A lot of you, maybe you prayed for something and you didn't get the answer because you didn't believe. There are two reasons why we do not receive and why the wells of the living water are blocked inside of us. One is either that we didn't really believe, or that there was doubt mixed with our faith, or two, that our faith was corrupted by man's tradition. If you look in Mark 7:13, Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees. And he is basically saying that you have corrupted the word of God. You have made the word of God of none effect through your tradition. And many such like things you do. That we have all sorts of traditions that prevent the Holy Spirit from really working and moving. And those traditions, they impede our progress and prevent the success that God wants us to see. One example of this is that just even receiving of the Holy Ghost. That we have churches, again, that have tarrying services and are waiting for the Holy Ghost to show up. Back in the old days in Pentecost, before they really got into the Word and understood things, they used to wait for months trying to receive the Holy Ghost. God, dude, we shouldn't be waiting. For one thing, God has already given us the Holy Ghost. You just need to believe. If you believe as the scripture has said, you'll receive what the scripture has said. And we got people begging and tearing and, oh, God, give me the Holy Ghost. And, oh, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And God says, I'm trying to give it to you. You just need to believe. And the fact of the matter is, the reason why you're begging is because you think that you're unworthy, or that God doesn't really love you, and that you think that you have to do something to get God's attention and to get God to invest in you. When God has said, I have justified you, I have called you, and I'm going to glorify you, but you've got to believe completely and totally, committing everything over to me before my spirit can come in. We've got to commit everything over to him. Every nook and cranny and crevice and every fiber of our being, every molecule and everything that comprises us must be completely invested and committed into the word of God, into the spirit of God. And when we do that, we're going to see an unblocking of the wells that are there. Mark 11:22, Jesus was coming out of Bethany and he had recently had cursed a fig tree that didn't produce any fruit. And he's talking to his disciples. He says, and Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, again that same word, to fully commit over to God, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. If you believe it, then you will receive it. Again, believing according to the word of God. I don't mean just believing, oh God, I'm going to get me a new Escalade or whatever. I mean getting some scripture that really, really will substantiate and validate your faith. And the thing is, I want you now to look at Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Like I said, I'm not going to be before you very long. I want to talk about unblocking the wells. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. Again, I will trust. There's that commitment that's there. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. That therefore with joy, verse 3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. The reason why it says with joy, because our joy comes from our salvation. In Psalm 51, verse 12, the Bible says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me of thy right spirit. That your joy comes from knowing the fact that once you were lost and now you are found. Once you are blind and now you see. And it's with that understanding that you tap into the wells of the Holy Spirit. It does not matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you're in Kenya or if you're in Hawaii or Malibu. That if you understand where God brought you from, that you can tap into the wells. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter if the car breaks down. Doesn't matter even if your husband leaves you. Doesn't matter even if you lose your job. Doesn't matter, because one thing I do know is that I know in whom I believe. I know where I'm going when I die. I know when the trumpet sounds, I know I'm going to be with Jesus. And if that don't make you happy, I don't know what will. And that's why you can see some people, they'll stop at an intersection, get out of the car and start dancing, because they just thought about where they were. Something they saw. Remember, I used to be in sin. I used to be in bondage. I used to be enslaved. But then I remember what God brought me from. And then the joy of the Lord begins to erupt. And they begin to draw from the living water that's inside of them. Inside of the water is strength and peace and everything that you need. Everything that you need. Rivers of living water. Rivers. I want you to see some. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, multiplicity of rivers. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the very first example of a river. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So it was one river. And then it parted into four rivers. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The name Pison means increase. That's the first river. Okay? Now look at the second one, verse 12. And the gold of that land is good. There's bdellium and the onyx stone. Now notice the river flows around where there's gold. There's increase. Now, verse 13. And the name of the second river is Gihon. That means a stream bursting forth. This one river parts into four heads. The first means to increase. The second means it's increasing so quickly, it's bursting forth. Bursting forth. Verse 13. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, which means a rapid, or the rapid Tigris. It's moving rapidly, it's bursting forth, and it's increasing these rivers. Then we get to the last river. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the river Euphrates, which means sweet water or fruitfulness. And when I look at these rivers, because this river flowed out of Eden. The word Eden means paradise. That one river flowed and split into four rivers that created increase, a stream bursting forth rapidly with sweet water and fruitfulness. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, the Bible says, it tells us in Psalms 46, verse 4, it says there is a river. Notice one river. The streams, it splits, where it shall make glad the city of God, the place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God is in the midst of her in this river. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So out of the one river, which is from paradise. Paradise comes from your salvation. When you're walking your salvation, you're walking in paradise. Adam and Eve did not have to fight for anything. They just were living off the good of the land, off of the river that split into increase. that split into rapidly bursting forth sweet water and fruitfulness. That is the living water that is inside of you. If you look in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, it comments more on the river. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded their fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That is what's inside of you. Now, if you notice that in verse 1, it says that the river flowed from the throne of God. The river flowed from the throne of God. And that is a typology, even as looking at the cross, because all of the goodness and all the righteousness that we have received comes from the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Roman soldier took a spear and pierced his side, and out of his belly flowed blood and also water. And out of that crimson stream comes all the life that you need. And that crimson stream, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, is inside of you. Life, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. The same spirit that cleanses lepers, that heals cancer, that causes all miracles to happen is inside of you. And the devil has lied to you and got you confused and distracted looking at the wrong things so that you're not tapping into the rivers of life. We should not have any depressed, manic, psychotic Christians in the church. You've got life inside of you. You've got joy inside of you. You need to unblock the wells. You need to unblock the wells. Remove anything. Remove anything that would try and stop you from getting into the river of increase, the river of fruitfulness and sweet water. God, that's all inside of his spirit, everything that you need. That's why when Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, when you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. You'll never be lonely again. You'll never be tired anymore. When you really are tapping into the rivers of life, the Spirit of God will rejuvenate you and revive you. The Bible said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let me show you how to tap into the wells. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm almost done, about to close. Going to try and wrap this up. I told you, won't be very long. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Step number one, quit listening to your carnal, sinful friends trying to tell you some nonsense on how to live right and live godly. It's so funny that right when you get saved, all of a sudden they become an authority of what a Christian is supposed to be. Oh, I thought you was a Christian. And then you get that little head shake too. Oh, I thought you was saved. As if you know everything about righteousness and you living in sin. Number one, quit listening to these dummies trying to tell you stuff. You get in the word of God. I am what God says I am. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, on the flip side of that, it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You got some self-righteous, self-appointed, anointed people that get in the way of people getting saved because they're all about their position and all about looking good. Oh, you're getting quiet now. You care so much about receiving the accolades and the applause of men that maybe someone, you need to move out of the way and let God move through someone else. And you're standing in the way of sinners coming to Christ, that you criticize people, you gossip about people. Come on now. You talk ill about your neighbor. You're standing in the way of sinners. The Bible says that God hates six things. Yeah, seven things do I hate. This is in Proverbs 6. One of those things is that he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. You want to know why he hates discord amongst the brethren? Turn to Psalm 133, verse 1. This wasn't even in my notes. I'm going to come back to Psalms 1 a little bit. Psalms 133. I want to get that on the screen real quick. Verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. That disunity causes a blockage. It stops the flow. And God wants there to be unity within his body so that there can be a flow, so that sinners can be one unto Christ. That's why he hates it. I died on the cross trying to save the world. And because you're standing in the way of sinners, people can't get saved. Turn back with me to Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You sitting in church with your bitter, angry, depressed self. Sitting in church. Praise and worship is going forth. Your arms are folded. Don't want to do anything. As if God owes you anything. Well, I guess I'll come to church. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. The Bible says you're blessed when you don't do these things. You don't have to do anything. Just stop doing certain stuff. And then you stop doing that, that will unblock the well of living water that's inside of you. Verse 2. Now this is what you need to do to get to tap into that well. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You want to tap into the Spirit of God and really get into the blessings of God, you got to get in this word. One of the things that has been aggravating me and driving me crazy is people do not respect and revere the word of God. This is the words of life. When Jesus said that unless you eat of my flesh and you drink my blood, you'll never have everlasting life. All of his disciples, they bounced on him. They went out, they left him, except the 12. And Jesus looked at him and said, will you leave also? And Peter, being the wise one, he said, where else can we go? You have the very words of everlasting life. You look more to Facebook and Twitter to guide your day or your horoscope than the word of God to tell you what's going on. He said you're blessed when you delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now look what happens, verse 3. When you do this, and he shall be like a tree planted by what? Rivers of living water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When you unblock the wells, I'm trying to quit. Last thing I'm saying, I'm stopping. I got to stop. Turn me to the book of Genesis. Genesis 26. Genesis 26, verse 14. Actually, no, go to verse 13. Go to verse 13. No, actually, let's go to verse 12. I'm sorry, Brother Josh, I'm messing with you. I keep reading back and I see good stuff there. Then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold. Now, that's crazy. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and Philistines envied him. He was so blessed, everybody envied him. Now look what the next verse said. Verse 15, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and had filled them with earth. There are people around you who may act like they're your buddy or your friend. But they've been sipping that haterade. I'll let that sit for a minute. You need to cut some folk off. Get rid of certain people. Because all they're doing is sabotaging your success. You need to just let them go. Get out of that relationship. Leave some friends behind because all they're trying to do is tear you down. And they're shaking your hand like this and smiling to your face when they got a shovel and they're putting dirt in your well. Trying to quit. I want to tell you something. If you live in righteousness, those people will go away. Last I heard, flies don't like to land on a hot stove. And if you're burning with the Holy Ghost and fire, the flies will go away. But look what the next verse said. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art mightier than we. And then if you read through the rest of this chapter, Isaac is trying to dig up the wells that his father had gotten.
And he goes from well to well. And the Philistines, they fight him over each well. And these are the same wells that his father had dug up. And he even called them the very names that his father had called them. One of the wells was called Esek, which means strife. Another was called Gerar. That meant like contention. And he fought over these wells. And eventually he let the wells go. Until he came to one well. Verse number 21 in Genesis chapter 26. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. There is a well that God has for you that the enemy cannot touch. There is a well that he has fought to try to plug up, because he knows if you tap into that well, miracles and signs and wonders will start happening. Liberty will start to come. You'll come out of bondage if you get that well, but he couldn't touch it. God said, I set before you an open door and no man can shut it. He called Rehoboth because God had made room for you. You stole all my other wells, but you couldn't get this one. You know, there's a song that came out in the late 90s. It was by Lauryn Hill. And it was I can't remember the name of the song exactly, but I remember one phrase from the song. It said, you might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might have gotten some other stuff from me, devil, but you just lost this one. This one is from me. I'm getting my inheritance from God. You might have won some. You might have sold some other wells. Fine, you can have it. God's got a well for you that's so abundant. I can live off that well for the rest of my life. God had made room for me. Now, I will say this. Those wells was his inheritance. And too many of us, we back off. And we don't fight for what is rightfully ours. His daddy digged those wells. I want you to know your heavenly father has digged you a well of living water. And you've got to fight for that thing. And strive with that thing. And you get what your daddy promised you. And he finally found the well that they could not touch. So, number one, if you want to unblock the wells, one, quit listening to the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible says in Romans 8:6 that to be carnally minded is death. Be spiritually minded is life and peace. Quit sitting in the seat of the scornful. Quit standing in the way of sinners. And then delight yourself in God's word. And when you delight yourself in God's word and meditate on it day and night, you will tap into the rivers of living water and you will be successful in whatsoever you do. When you believe on God according to the scripture, which means you commit yourself completely to him. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I couldn't live this life by myself, but God Almighty, he's living through me. It's him that's doing the works. You think I'm blessed because of me? I just see what Mary said. It's the God in me. All right, I'm quitting. I'm done. I meddled a little bit, but I'm done. No. Praise God. There's a well. Everything you need is in that well. You don't have to go to the government. You don't have to find it in a man or a woman. It's in God. That's the thing that the Lord's really been dealing with me on, is just how much God has, and we don't need anything else. If we would just commit everything over to God, if you would seek first the kingdom of God and put him first, everything else will line up. Everything else. And again, not just carnal stuff like, you know, monies and houses and all this. I mean, really getting your life together. I mean, really being changed and transformed. Walking in holiness and sanctification. I mean, really, really being transformed. There's life here, living water. Unblock the wells. Inside of you is devil rebuking healing power is inside of you. If you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, you've already got it. You've already got it. You don't need another prophet to lay hands on you and do an impartation. You don't need it. Ephesians 1:3 says, God hath blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He's already given it to you. You've already got it. Just unblock the wells. And then once you get it unblocked, stand guard over your well. Stand guard on your well. You look at the story of Joseph. And Joseph, again, he had a bunch of haters, as you all know the story. And the way that they threw him into slavery is they threw him into a well that was empty. They threw him into a well that was empty. And they kept him in an empty well until slave traders came to buy him. Now, had that well been full, he could have just floated out the top and got out. But because the well was empty, he couldn't get out. He was stuck in that well. An empty well will lead you into slavery. And that's why you need to get the Spirit of God. You need the Holy Ghost. And again, if you believe on God, as the scripture has said, there's going to be living water that will flow. Waters that can heal any wound. Waters that can deliver you out of any bondage. Not just carnal stuff. I mean deliver you from sin. That's what this is really talking about. From sin and becoming like Christ when you tap into this well. And when you do this, when you remove all the junk out of the way, man, there's life that's there. Some of you have been walking this thing for 15, 20, 30 years. And you're bitter and you're miserable and you're depressed. Because the Philistines, Satan was jealous of what was in your well and he blocked it up. He sent a tragedy in your life to put dirt in your well. Sent some person to ruin your day. Some event to offset what God is trying to do in your life. And you can't let him do that. You can't let him get you off out of the well. You got to keep that thing unblocked. And that's why David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Let my will be clean. Because like I said, it's not that you're not anointed. It's not that you don't have the power. You do. It's just the devil has put junk in your well. You just need to clean it out. And so if we stand, I'm really closing this time, you know. And like I said, I meddled a little bit, but seriously though, man, one of the things that really aggravates me is how the church in many ways has put so much on just the pastor alone, as if he's supposed to do everything. But really the way the church is supposed to be is that the pastor, he empowers you to do the things that he can't do. That people become, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't look to leadership. I'm saying we should. But some people, they need to call the pastor just because they sneezed or something. I mean, just, when are we going to start growing up and tapping into that well? You keep running to other people and trying to drink from their well. And God said, I've got a well for you already inside of you. Learn to drink from your own well. Drink from your own cistern, the Bible says. It's already in you. Learn to get it for yourself. Learn to walk in this thing for yourself. There may come a time where you may not be able to get a hold of pastor and he can't pray you through that situation. There may come a time where First Lady may not be available. She might be helping someone else. So there may be a time you might have to stand on your own. I say, okay, I'm in the wilderness. The devil's after me. I got to fight this thing. It's time for me to unblock the well. And when you're in the wilderness, the Bible says that there was a rock that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. And when Moses took the rod and he smote that rock, out of that rock came living water. In the wilderness, Christ was stricken so that you could drink from the living water that he has for you. And all you need to do is surrender and submit. Remember now, the way that you start drinking from that water is to believe in him, as the scripture has said. Not just acknowledging, okay, God, I'm a sinner. Okay, God, you're real. But I mean committing to him. That's that word that scares all the guys, right? Commitment. No. I saw someone shake their head. Uh-oh. I leave it alone. See?
Ah, man, I opened a can of worms on that one. Okay, no. But no, God wants you to believe in him to the point of commitment, where you trust in him. The difference between an inspired person and a persuaded person. There are some people who get inspired when they hear a message like this, but God isn't looking for that. He's looking for someone that's persuaded. Inspirement is, oh man, that really feels good. And then the next day, you're like, when the inspiration is gone, when you don't have someone saying, come on, keep going, you get back in the trench. Paul said, I'm persuaded. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, life, Romans 8:38, principalities and powers, demons or angels, neither things present or things to come, is able to separate me from the love of God. He's like, I am convinced there is no force on the earth that can separate me from the love of God, from the living water that he has for me. So don't be inspired. God wants you to be persuaded, to commit, to believe. And when you do that, living water is going to flow from heaven into you. And you'll feel it. You'll feel the death leaving as the life comes in, as God heals all the wounds that the devil has inflicted upon you. I open these altars today. If you want to experience this living water, the water that says you'll never thirst again, the bread that says you'll never hunger again, come on down. Come and dine, the master calls. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned water into wine, come and dine, the master caller says. Come and dine. We got the bread of life here, and we got the living water here for you to come and dine. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor. God bless you. If the remainder of the church, let's pray for those that are here. Pray that they would get a drink of that living water. Praise God. Get a drink of that living water. You'll never be thirsty again. Praise God.